Hallelujah. We're going to talk about gladly serving God. David asked this question, the psalmist, what shall I render to God? So that's the great question that all Christians should be concerned about getting it right. What shall I render to God for all of His benefits unto me, His blessings unto me? What will bless Him? What do you give God for all that He has given to you? Usually it's answered in the vocal sense, the verbal sense, in verbal worship. In fact, the New Testament tells us that when we offer praise from the heart, we offer the calves. You see the sacrificial language, the calves of our lips. Something happens when we praise Him from the heart. It becomes a spiritual sacrifice acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. That's an incredible thing that I can become literally a blessing to the Lord when I offer praise from the heart. That the answer is in Psalm 103, where the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, and forget not all of His benefits. What shall I render? I will bless His name. Vocal, verbal praise. Psalm 100 is known as a thanksgiving psalm. Specifically, amen. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Serve the Lord with gladness. So the offering gets even more intimate, more personal, more fully developed in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, where it says, I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, stimulated by what God has given us through Jesus Christ, by the mercies of God, and where that mercy was displayed most visibly and powerfully is when Jesus died upon the cross for you and me, so that we could be saved, our sins could be forgiven. His blood was shed. It's a sacrificial all throughout the Bible. The innocent suffering for the guilty. Amen. What shall I offer God? Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of thine iniquity, heals all of thy diseases, satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. What happens when that happens? We mount up with wings as an eagle. Run and be not weary, and walk and not faint. Who delivers thy soul from destruction. And then it goes on into a grace part of that psalm. And say, you didn't reward us according to our works. If you gave us what we deserved, we'd be in trouble. But you gave us mercy. You gave us love. You gave us forgiveness. Praise God. And in light of that, in the New Testament, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body, which means the whole of your being. Your body is the container for your soul and your spirit. It's the whole of you. A living, sacrificial language again, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some Bible scholars translate it this way, which is your true spiritual worship. Now, Christians are sitting in churches all over the world, all over America. How many of us are worshiping Him from the heart, in effect, serving Him with gladness? We're told to offer, to reciprocate love. We love Him because He first loved us. How can I say thanks? The song says, how can I say thanks? David was saying the same thing. How can I say thanks unto God? By just saying thanks? No. It has to be deeper than that. And it all has to come from the heart. Man looks on the outward. God looks deeper. So it's not just what we do. It's why we do it. And it has to be gratitude to Him for all He's done for us. I beseech you, stimulated by the mercies of God, that you would free will offering, offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yes, logic, reason would tell you that would be requisite. But that's why many people call it true spiritual worship. Spiritual worship is not when you get a liver shiver, when you, and maybe you've never had a liver shiver. I have. Not my actual liver, but I've experienced the presence of God, and I can't explain it. You have to experience that. If you experience the presence of God, there's a sense of awe. There's a holy presence, and you know that God is near you by that presence. That doesn't always happen. It's not a consistent thing you live in 24/7, but His presence and the promise of it is. So He doesn't come when you sense Him. He comes all the time. And sometimes, when we're not so focused on things that distract us, we're able to enter into His presence and experience the presence of God. Worship is one of those centering things that we do. True worship is how we serve Him. It's all about the heart. That's why verse 2 of Psalm 100 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." It's not talking about what we do, but the attitude with which we do it. It's not just obedience, but the willingness to obey that God honors so highly. It's not just about obedience, but willingness to obey. Look at Isaiah. No, just mark it down. Don't have to turn. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. If you be willing, and obedient. Now let me put obedience on the top shelf. If you want to show God how much you appreciate Him, do it by obeying Him. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God said, "There's nothing you can give me that is better than obedience and being meek enough to obey me, to bow before me." That's what got Saul into such trouble. He thought he could offer. He had ulterior motives in offering what he offered. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. So the Lord says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Red like crimson, they shall be white as snow." If you be willing and obedient. It's possible to obey without being willing. How many pay taxes? And the government's so crazy with the money of taxpayers. I'm obedient. I'm scared the man's going to come and take some stuff. But am I really willing to do that? I mean, no, I can't honestly say I'm all that willing. You can be obedient for a lot of reasons without being willing. And what God is saying is that if I don't see a willingness from the heart before the act of obedience is meaningless to me. My wife and I have been married for 60 years and counting. If I thought she was still with me just out of obedience to God, I'm stuck with Him, I gotta stay with Him, it wouldn't be meaningful to me. I mean, if I knew that she said, "Boy, I wish he would just go on to heaven so I'd get me a good man." Amen. It wouldn't mean anything. Staying with me wouldn't mean anything if she wasn't willing and happy to be with me, glad to be with me. That's why it said there's an essential, even though obedience is the top shelf with God, there's an essential to that obedience to obtain His blessing. Now, a lot of Christians begin to draw back right now because we're obedient. We're like, you know, robots. We go to church. We give in the offering. We come to this and we do that, and we go out and we do this and we do that. And God says, you know, that's all good. That's all wonderful. I commend you for obedience. But remember the church at Ephesus? He commended them for so many things that they were obedient in. He said, I've got something against you. And it must have shocked them after all the commendations he gave them. You've left your first love. You're obedient, but you're not doing it to express love. You're not doing it gladly unto me. You're doing it religiously perfect. But he says, I see the heart is not in it anymore. You're good at practicing your religion and meeting the requirements of your faith, but you're not doing it from the heart anymore. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember when you served me out of love for me and obedience to me because you loved me and you honored me. Serve the Lord with gladness. 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 Amen. I'm glad that Pamela's my wife. I wish she was here to hear this. Somebody record it and send it to her. It will help me greatly when I mess up. Amen. I need all those kudos I can get. But if she was here, I would say it to her and say it about her. I'm glad that she is my wife of 60 years and counting. That's a long time. But we're not stuck with each other. We're stuck to each other. Hallelujah. Because we love each other. Listen carefully. And it's all because of Christ in our heart and Christ in our life. I remember there was a movie one time, Love Story, and it became a big hit back in the 80s. And there was a statement from the movie that became iconic of the 80s, which you don't remember, you young whippersnappers. You might remember, Dar. I don't know how far you go back. You look so young. I can't. Don't even say. Oh, I'm sorry. Amen to that. Okay. This is my man right here. He's going to amen most everything. Love, here's what it said. Love means never having to say you're sorry. In other words, I can express that love so perfectly, I never have to apologize because I never mess up. I never fail that person. I never do anything that I would need to apologize for. That is so stupid. Pure out stupid. No one is that perfect, and no one can express love that perfectly. I find myself apologizing to Pamela often. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because I'm not perfect. Did you remember to pick up my prescription? I mean, I should come in the door because I know I'm guilty. I remember it when I get home. Amen. And I should come in the door apologizing. Honey, I'm so sorry. What are you sorry for? You'll find out. You'll find out. Just a little while. You will find out. Amen. No. And the same way with God. He loved them. He commended them. He said, everything you're doing is so right. And if you go down the list, you've tried them that said they were apostles and found them to be liars. You're persecuted. You're standing true to the faith under heavy persecution. You should be commended. And he commended all of that. But he said, I have something against you. Amen. And they said, what? I mean, that's what they had to say. What? Yeah. What could he, after all these commendations, what is the problem with being obedient? And that's a highest order. That's the highest way that we can show gratitude, is through obedience. That's what it means to offer your body a living sacrifice. That's what it means. It means that we are humbling ourselves before the Lord and expressing that love for Him and this reverence for Him by obeying Him. Why callest thou me Lord and not do what I say? See, it's easy to get into a religious, ritualistic routine and serve Him mechanically, not from the heart. God won't have it. God won't have it. How do you know? Church of Ephesus, you've left your first love. Remember from whence you're fallen. It's time to repent. Not just say, I'm sorry, but turn around and begin to serve Him from the heart. Remember where... Just get back to the foot of the cross. Get back to Calvary. That's what's missing in so many Christian circles today. The preaching of the cross is so fundamental to the faith and such a stimulant to the first love. That's why Holy Communion is done as often as you do it. Do it in remembrance of me in a particular, peculiar way. Consider Him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself. Where did that occur? It occurred when He was hanging on that cross for you and for me. That's where the first love is stimulated. That's where it begins. That's why Paul said if you want to get back to it in his writings, to offer your whole of your being to God as a living sacrifice, do it in response to dwelling upon the mercies of God. I beseech you by the mercies of God. He didn't want them to just try to do it religiously. He wanted them to get back into that first love relationship with Jesus. Remember when you first came to the Lord? It was a sweetheart love. I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait, amen, to find what He has for my life. To find what He wants me to do with my life. I want to serve Him. You would have served Him out of the first love with gladness. I thought we were called to the mission field at first. And I made plans to sell everything we had, which wasn't much. It wouldn't have took long. Amen. Yard sale be over by noon. Amen. It wouldn't have lasted past noon. Amen. Listen, we were ready to go anywhere in the world that God wanted us. We tried. We went to Jamaica to test that out, and I ended up going to Haiti several times after becoming a pastor. You know where He sent us? Sulphur Springs. And then here. That's where He wanted us to go. And I found out He didn't want me to go to the mission field. He wanted me to be willing to go if He asked me to. Can you say, man? He wanted that willingness. Would you leave the comforts? Would you leave Tampa Electric and the retirement that it offers? I had a job at Tampa Electric when I came to pastor in Sulphur Springs. Would you give all of that up to serve me where I want you to be? Would you do that? Yes, I would. He tested me on that, and yes, I did. So I passed that test. But it's easy to fall into the trap of rigorous, ritualistic, religious service, and it no longer coming from the heart. That's when couples grow apart. Had a wedding recently, and I remember saying at a wedding that y'all participated in, that I say at most weddings, is the secret of an enduring marriage is falling in love many times, but always with the same person. There is a love, the scripture said, that covers a multitude of sins. The actual word there is not just sins against God, it's faults. We all have faults. And there is a love that doesn't magnify those faults, but actually says, you know, I'm not perfect either. I'm not expecting perfection out of my mate. So we operate in forgiveness. And God was giving the church at Ephesus an opportunity to not only be forgiven, but to repent. That means to get back. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Repent. Turn around and head back in the right direction. Start doing what you used to do when the first love was burning. But I don't want it this time out of religious ritual. I want it out of a willing heart. I want that love re-stimulated in you. And I want you to serve me once again from the heart. Have you ever heard the song, The Heart of Worship? I'm returning to the heart of worship. It is my understanding that that song came about. A pastor of a church that had a praise team and a big church and all the trimmings, he was concerned about the worship not being acceptable to God because people were used to doing it. It became routine. So they went on a worship fast for a month. For a month, they didn't have a worship service. He said, at the end of this month, I want to bring a message to you that I believe God has given me. And at the end of that month, he talked about worshiping him and serving him from the heart. And people begin to realize we sang the songs. We said the right words. We did the right things. But did it come from our heart? Has it become just part of the Christian thing? I'm coming back to the heart of worship. For it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Can you say amen? I'm sorry for the thing I've made it, because it's truly all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to bless the Lord like David wanted to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and what? All that is in me. When I bless him with all that's in me, it's not just how loud I sing. And it's not just the words I say while I'm singing along, while that's part of the praise and worship. It's offering myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my true spiritual worship. Now here's where Jesus says, this is, you can have the greatest congregation, greatest choir, the greatest praise team, the steeple that is so tall it interferes with satellites circling the earth. He didn't actually say that. It's a disclaimer. What he's saying is, you can't build me a church. You can't fill it with enough praise and worship. You can't fill it with, there's a church in Fort Lauderdale that has a $1 million pipe organ. Let me tell you something about a $1 million. They said it's for the glory of God. They raised $1 million for a pipe organ. I mean, it covers the whole part of the church. Wow. A pipe organ that costs $1 million because God is worth it. Listen, it is not worth 2 cents to him if the people don't worship him from the heart. In fact, the architect for one church in Miami, when they built their new church, they had him go through the files and see who had the tallest steeple in the county. Now, this is how crazy religion can get without relationship. Who's got the tallest? You know, I think of that song, my dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's bigger than your dog. Listen, God don't want big dog people. He wants real people and a real relationship with us. And when that relationship, that vital, intimate relationship is broken, it's unacceptable. Everything's unacceptable. That's why the whole of your being, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. It's not coming from the heart. It's no longer acceptable. I want our steeple to be at least 10 feet taller than the tallest steeple of any church in the county. Don't you know God is just saying, oi. You think your steeple's going to impress me? No, it's your people. All the things we think we can offer to God, he said, everything's not acceptable. You are pure in your doctrine. I give you commendation. You're pure in your life. I give you commendation. You're persecuted, but you're not swaying in your faith. I commend you. But I've got something against you. You're obedient in all of these areas, and I honor that. But you've left your first love. You're doing it out of the commitment to your faith and your religion. I commend you. But that commitment is not necessarily to me. Unless it's coming from a willing heart. Love causes it to come from a willing heart. I pray that Pamela is with me still, because she would love to be with me and no one else. That's what blesses me, to know that my wife would choose me right now over, I don't even know, there's no one like me out there. There isn't. I'm one of a kind. She'll never find another one like me. Right, Dar? There's not another one like me and you. Hallelujah. I'm glad she still wants to be with me. I mean, she told me the other day, she took me by the hand, she looked me in the eye, and she said, I love you. I said, good. Hallelujah. That's what I want to hear. But it's not just words, or she wouldn't have stayed with me this long. The pressures of ministries broke up many pastors' marriages because they couldn't balance the requirements of the church and the need of people with the need of them to be a daddy and a father to their family. Let's get back to Ephesus. I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Remember whence thou art fallen. Remember when you did these things, but you did it from the heart. You served me with gladness of heart. Remember that. Repent. Begin to move back toward that. Not by just continuing to religiously do what you're doing, but developing that relationship between me and you that has begun to break down. And repent. And do your first works. Now, he's telling them, do it from the heart. When you get back into that relationship, by doing your first works, seeing the need. That's why that church began to worship anew and afresh with a new attitude. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Because it's all about you. It's not about having a neat little time church service where we insert everything just right. He said, this is about me and you. This is not about how other people see you or what you see yourself. It's about me and you. This is between me and you. Worship is intimate. You don't do it as a herd. You do it individually. You don't just follow the leader. You offer something that you bring. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And it's not just the calf of our lips alone. It is the whole of our being. He said, remember from whence you are fallen, repent and do your first works. Unless, this is the ultimatum, or else. This is not something you can just blow off and say, we've done it this way all these years, I've done it this way all my life, I'm going to go to churches that do it that way because I like it like that. He said, here's an ultimatum. I will come to you quickly. I won't tolerate it. I won't let it continue without addressing it. And I'll remove your lampstand. You'll have that neat church service. You'll have your high moral standard, which I commend. But it won't have impact anymore on you in the audience or people outside. When they see it, they won't see anything that smacks of reality and truth. They will see a facade, because that's what I see. I'll come to you quickly, and I will remove your lampstand. Have you ever been in a church that had it all just right, but there was no sense of the presence of God? Sinners are not convicted of their sin. Doubters are not convinced of His reality. Christians are not drawn closer to live close to Him. But they got their doctrine right. They got their creed kept. They got their lapel pin and their bumper sticker. Amen. Where is the presence of God? Where is the conviction of God? The lampstand, it says candlestick in the King James, in the book of Revelation. It wasn't wax candle. It was a oil-fueled lamp. And oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. You're there, but He's not manifesting. You're in the room, but God is not manifesting His presence. Lo, I'm with you always, yeah, but when you worship me out of religious ritual and not from the heart, it's unacceptable. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Serve the Lord with gladness. Obey Him, yes, but do it out of a willing heart. The book of Isaiah says it well. I like this as we try to hurry. I'm going to start closing early. Just for Dar's sake and for y'all. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You see, obedience is put on the top shelf, and it should be, but people don't deal with the matters of the heart. Just obey God. Just obey God in your giving, you know. Yet the Bible says it don't matter how much you give. If it doesn't come from the heart, it means nothing, and I'm not obligated to bless it. If any man give, let him give. Let him give willingly, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You know what the word cheerful means? Hilaru is the Greek word. Hilarious. I'm so glad to be able to do something for the work of God. Hallelujah. Serving with gladness. Shouldn't be a sad thing. Well, it's the first. Can you imagine how God feels when He sees that? I need a financial blessing. I better go give some money to God, or give myself to God. Forget money for a while. Forget money. Prove me herewith, saith God. This is before you get to Malachi 3, there's Malachi 1 and 2. But if we're just interested in stimulating giving by telling how God's going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and we don't start with honoring Him, we don't start with a heart relationship with Him, amen, we get it all wrong. And God has no obligation and has made no promise to bless that giving unless it comes from the heart. Amen. To receive that worship unless it comes from the heart. Remember the woman at the well? She was so filled with gratitude and love for Jesus, for such grace, mercy, and forgiveness. The first thing popped in her mind, where can we worship God acceptably? Where can we worship God where it will really please Him and bless Him? Is it the holy mountain that y'all call and sanctify as holy? Is that mountain somehow sacred enough for God to be pleased if I climb up on that mountain and worship Him from the top? Or is it that city called the holy city? If I go to that city and worship in that city, will that be acceptable? And He said, woman, the time has come, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship me in spirit and in truth. He's looking in the heart. He says, I want to see true commitment. I want to see true love. I want to see a true gratitude, true appreciation. Man looks on the outward. God looks deeper. He knows why you came today. He knows if you just sang along or if you really wanted to bless Him. He knows that. He loves you anyway. But He will not bless any act of obedience that doesn't come from the heart. Give. If any man gives, let him give, not out of necessity. Not out of necessity. Nor grudgingly. Wrong attitude. Action is right. Attitude is wrong. But willingly. Because we're not going to receive an offering at this time. Don't get fidgety. We're talking about giving yourself. I found out if I give the whole of my being to Him, a living sacrifice, it includes everything else. But if I don't give the whole of my being, I can give everything else. Let me tell you what the Bible said. It said, without divine agape love, without charity, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, profits me nothing. though I have all knowledge and understand all mysteries, it profits me nothing. Though I give my body to be burned. During the Vietnam War, remember the monks that were so wanting to express their faith, I guess, whatever their cause was, they set themselves on fire and sat there and burned up. God did not require that, nor does He require that. But He does require a wholehearted commitment. Though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Some people thought when they got the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues, they didn't need anything else. They didn't need to develop a relationship with God. They had the power. They forgot about the person. They forgot about the person. To Laodicea, the rich church, powerful church, wealthy church, assuming that material blessing represents God's blessing. Sometimes He blesses materially. He always blesses materially if we give from the heart. But just thinking that's the ultimate. We don't need relationship anymore. We got what we wanted. We got the wealth. We got the size. We got the power that wealth and prestige brings. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. This is what he wants. This is what he requires. I'll sup with him and him with me. Friend, that's a table for two. That's a table for two. So that you're sitting in an intimate relationship with Him. That's why Jesus died. I'm going to tell you, escaping hell and going to heaven is not the ultimate reason that He died. Thank you for the grunt. I got one grunt and no amens. Let me explain this to you. The just has suffered for the unjust, that we might escape hell and go to heaven. That's a byproduct of the primary reason. That is through in. As important and vital as it is. The just has suffered for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Reconciliation. Reconciled unto him. To wit, God was in Jesus Christ, where? On the cross, reconciling the world unto himself. Hallelujah. That relationship with Adam and Eve broken in the garden, Jesus came to restore it spiritually. Through the first Adam, death reigned through his disobedience, but through Jesus Christ, there's a renewed opportunity for that relationship, an unbroken, we have access to God. That linen veil, when Jesus said it's accomplished on the cross, that veil that said keep out, you're unworthy, you'll never be holy enough to come into the presence of the Holy One. That veil was rent from top to bottom. You know what they did after all of that was over? They put it up again. They mended it. They put it right back up. That's what religion does a lot of times. It builds these barriers that we can never be good enough to have a real relationship with our Creator. Jesus said that's what God has wanted from day one, and He's going to have it His way. He wants it to be back like it was in the garden before the fall. So if we're not pursuing a relationship, all we have is our religion. And God said, no matter how well you keep it, it's not enough. You can't show me to the world just by the practice of your religion. You're going to have a relationship with me. And if you don't have that, it's all in vain. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation, all of these power gifts. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, it profits me not. It's sounding brass. It's tinkling. So God says, you know what it is to me? If it isn't from the heart, just a pursuit of power so you can join the spiritually elite. You know what that becomes to me? It's like a knot of noise. We used to have a drum set right behind me when I preached, and I do not play drums. You do not want to hear me try to play drums. You would have to get earplugs. Amen. I can't keep a beat. I don't got the rhythm. The rhythm. That's rhythm. You know what I'm saying. And I'd go take, and I would hit the big cry cymbal. And I thought, that is so irritating. Now, if you've got a beat going and you want to put an exclamation point on the beat, you hit that big cymbal and it fits right in. But sounding brass without music and harmony, it's just a lot of noise. And there's a lot of people expressing a lot of noise. It isn't coming from the heart. You know what God says it is? Sounding brass. Tinkling cymbal. It's just a lot of noise. We go to faith seminars to build our faith to receive. And faith, 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 faith is a does-all, cure-all. It's not. It's not. It's not just how to get something from God. It begins with, how can I say thanks? What can I give? What can I render to God for all His benefits unto me? Serve the Lord with gladness. Because obedience is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. The greater sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice. That's why Jesus' death on the cross was called a sweet smelling savor to God. Why did God highly exalt him? The Bible said he humbled himself, took on himself the form of a servant, and was obedient unto the death of the cross. Come on, spiritually minded people, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord. We were in our church. We had a lady. If she said it once, she said it 100 times. She'd do some crazy thing and said, "I've lost my mind and got the mind of Christ." And I thought, "No, you haven't got His mind yet, darling." Bragging about all you did this week for the Lord—that's not humbling yourself, amen. That's not crucifying the flesh. If you want to get real technical about it before we close, I know you don't, but we got to because this is the message. God wants your heart. He wants your obedience out of a heart that is willing. Serve Him with gladness. David said, "I was glad." They said, "It's time to go to church." "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" Instead of, "Oh man, I'm going to have to fix my hair. It's a mess. Lord knows I can't find my other eyelash. I had it yesterday. I don't want to just go with one eyelash. Maybe if I put a patch over my eye. Where did I put that third fingernail? I mean, come on, you know? I can't find my tie that matches my... Oh, I got to go to church. I'm all messed up." No, I was glad. I was glad. We're going to worship God. Hallelujah. We're going to honor God. I was glad to do that. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be destroyed by the sword. Your enemies will prevail over you, and you can't go to enough faith seminars, spiritual warfare seminars, to circumvent that truth. It still stands. There is a faith that worketh by love. Follow after faith, hope, and love, these three. The greater is love. And the first love in particular. Willing obedience. Say it with me. Willing obedience. If any man give of yourself, of your substance, in any other way to honor God in any sense of it, religiously otherwise, let him give willingly, not grudgingly, nor out of necessity, for the Lord loveth cheerful. Sounds like glad service. Does that sound like serving with gladness? Amen. We used to clap our hands at offering time. Because we were trying to express this should be done out of love for the Lord and love for other people. We want other people to know Christ. We're glad to sponsor ministries that is at reaching out to bring people to Christ. We've always had an outreach. I remember when our ministry was in a military base in Germany, and they were using VHS cassettes of our morning service, delayed a week or two because it had to be shipped from Tampa to Germany. And they had no like faith service on base. So this couple that their family came to our church, they took the VHS tape that Curly made them from the balcony amen. And they shipped it to Germany and said, our living room is full of people and we just want you to know that you are preaching the gospel at a military base in Germany. Hallelujah. Always had an outreach. Got a letter from Louisville, Kentucky, and said, Pastor Venable, just wanted you to know you are preaching in the prison system here in Louisville. I thought, what? Did God take me like he did Paul and sit me down over there somewhere? They said, we have got permission to come and share Jesus with people in the jail here. And said, we don't have a preacher. None of us are a preacher. So what we do, they had gotten hold of our tapes. These were cassettes then. Said, we play a cassette. And I'm sure they started it about halfway, you know, into the message. Anyway, we play this cassette for the prisoners here, and then we invite people to come to Christ. Did you know that you're preaching in the prison system in Louisville? And I thought, had no idea. We didn't send any. We didn't try to get it out there. Somehow or another, somebody sent those tapes to somebody, and God took that somebody and used the tape to bring other people to Christ. We preach in Charlotte, North Carolina, by tape video cassette back then, because a man whose sister came to our church, she sent him, bought it from the Curly, bought it, paid $3 for the cassette or whatever it was to send to him. He sent it to her. He said, I have a nursing home ministry. I go, but I'm not a preacher. And we put in the cassette, and when people raise their hand to receive Christ, then I pray with them to receive Jesus. You have preached the gospel. You are preaching the gospel in Charlotte, North Carolina. I got another letter from Kentucky. Maybe it's because I'm from Kentucky. I don't know. Maybe they pick up on that. I said, Pastor Venable, I just want you to know our testimony here. And the letter was quite lengthy because the lady said, our pastor had a moral failure. We lost him. He was a good man, but he all messed up. And people quit coming to church, and they just locked the door to the church. She said, I had a problem. I fell and hurt my back, and I can hardly get out of bed. They give me stuff for pain. I can hardly get out of bed. But she said, my husband is a long-distance truck driver. Somewhere in Texas, on the way back to Kentucky, someone gave him a paper bag full of cassette tapes, and it was tapes from the Holy Church of God. Did we set that up? No, we didn't. Did God do it by divine appointment? In a coffee shop, in one of those truck stops, rather, in Texas, somebody handed him a brown paper bag full of tape. It's not me. I'm not some grand preacher television. But listen, I do try to stick to the Word of God and stick to a basic principle of preaching. If you want to talk politics, there may be a time and place for these things, but this is not the time and this is not the place. I don't want to know anything among you but Christ and Him crucified. That is the message that did it then. It's the only message that'll do it now. Can you say amen? We haven't outgrown that message and that great truth. It saved souls in the first century. It'll save them in the 21st century. Can you say amen? Thank you for the hallelujah hand clap today. Give God the glory. God the glory. She said, my husband, listen to those tapes. You know, normally a trucker, my stepdad was a truck driver. Truck driving son of a gun. He loved that song. My pappy was a pistol. I'm a son of a gun. All right. And he was. Big gun, evidently. 6 days on the road, I'm going to make it home tonight. Country music, something. Yeah, country music. Yeah. For him. Oh, you remember that. Pappy was a pistol. Yeah. Truck driving guy. But on the way home, out of inquisitiveness, he's got this bag full of cassette tapes. He's played that particular trucker song a bunch of times. And from Texas to Kentucky, he's playing the tapes from our service. Christ and Him crucified, the foundation for all our teaching. And he had never given his life to Christ. He had, but he had fallen away. When he got home, he had fallen forward instead of backward. Instead of backsliding, he started front sliding. Praise God. God allows for U-turns. It's called repentance. That's what he wanted from Ephesus. Make a U-turn. Come back to the heart of worship. Come back to the reality of walking with me and serving me. Praise God. Amen. Said he come in and he said, listen, I want you to hear something. I have rededicated my life to the Lord. Boy, I had a captive audience preaching to a truck. Who gave him those tapes? Who in Texas had a sack of tapes from our ministry? God set it up. He had to set it up. We've always had an outreach. So what we give to reach out because God is taking it and God is doing things with it. Look at our little congregation. Because of all these things God has done and is doing, it doesn't discourage me to the point of saying, what's the point? The point is, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107, verse 20. Amen. It is the theme of our internet media ministry. He sent His Word. He sent His Word. He sent His Word. She said, I was so delighted that he had rededicated his life to the Lord. We begin to listen to the tapes. A bunch of people discouraged, friends of ours. The church was closed. I invited him to come to our home. We put on the tapes, and we had church in our living room. But I couldn't get out of the bed. But after one of those services, everybody came in, gathered around my bed and prayed for me. And I want you to know that God raised me up, healed me. I'm off pain medication and back on my feet. Hallelujah. And listen, and since enough of us took courage again to, we opened the church back up and we are praying that God will send us a good pastor and a good spiritual leader. Just wanted you to know that you're preaching the gospel in Kentucky. Wow. This is God's word that He's honoring. It's God's word that He's honoring. Hallelujah. So in all of our Christian service, get the dollar sign off of this and get yourself on the altar. If any man give, offer your body a living sacrifice. Get that in vision. If any man give, Let him give willingly, not grudgingly, nor out of necessity. You can be a member of our church. I remember, and I got to hurry. I remember that a couple that used to come to our church, they moved closer to Lakeland, and they went to a church that had a 10,000-seat sanctuary. And they wanted to become a member because it's prestigious. It's a lot more prestigious, say, I go to that church than that church. So they went to that church, and it's closer on top of that. You'd be amazed how many people make their decisions based on those kind of things. What they didn't realize was that if you're going to be a member of that church, there's a requirement that you give 10% tithe. And not only is there a requirement, they want a financial statement. They came to their door after their application. Two men came to their door and they asked them for a financial statement of their income so they could make sure. And suddenly, it's like, what? I've got to account you. I've got to account to you for every penny to make sure there's no less than, you know, one preacher put it this way. We get down to such religious responsibilities, we lose religious, we lose relationship opportunities. And he put it this way. Instead of I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all. He said we should sing it like this. I surrender one tenth. I surrender one tenth. One tenth to Jesus. I surrender one tenth. That's Ephesus. That's Ephesus. That's Ephesus. That meets the budget. That builds the building fund. But it doesn't necessarily bless the Lord. We've got to close, just so you know. I like the pulpit commentary. It said, if you consent with your wills and are obedient in your actions. Amplified says, serve the Lord with gladness and delight. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know why? Because your will be surrendered to his will and you'll want to please him more than you want to please you. In fact, pleasing him is what will please you the most. We used to get in arguments, Pamela and I. Oh, everybody's listening now. I knew that marriage wasn't that perfect. Now he's going to fess up and tell the truth. We used to get in big arguments. Where would you like to eat today? I'm going to take you out to eat. Where you want to eat? Do you want a steak? You want seafood? Where do you want to eat? Well, I want to eat where you want to eat because I want to be a blessing to you. Now, where do you want to eat, steak or seafood? Well, I like steak, but sometimes it's hard. See, the older you get, sometimes fish is easier to chew than. But just saying. Someone said, you know you're getting old when you sink your teeth into a thick, juicy steak and they stay there. You know you're getting old, right? When your back goes out more than you do, you just know that you're getting older. Where do you want to eat? And then we get into kind of this fuss over it. I want to eat where you want to eat. Well, I want to bless you. Where do you want to eat? Well, where do you want to eat? Well, where do you want to eat? Well, let's go home and eat a bologna sandwich. What a fuss. Listen, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Because he sees that. He sees that glad willingness, that faithfulness born out of love and honor. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man as he purposeth in his heart. It begins in the heart. So let him give, not grudgingly nor out of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, there's so much more to this. This deep devotion that he honors so highly. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, his word, and his commandments are not grievous. They are not burdensome. It's not a burden. It's a blessing when we serve him out of genuine love for him. Can you say amen today? Hallelujah. I want to close with this. This is a true story. You know, if animals, you know why they call dogs man's best friend? How he earned that. You know why they used to in my day and Brother Taylor's day? I don't know if he remembers it, but there was a common name given to pet dogs, and it was Fido. Fido. There is a creed of the United States Marine Corps. Semper Fidelis. Fido, Fidelis, both comes from the same Latin word. Semper, always. Fidelis, faithful. Always faithful. When we serve him with gladness, faithfulness is the byproduct. Amen. Fido, because of the faithfulness. I read this recently, and again, how we admire the obedience of a dog shows to its master. Archibald Rutledge wrote that one day he met a man whose dog had just been killed in a forest fire. Heartbroken, the man exclaimed to Rutledge how it happened. Because he worked out of doors, he often took his dog with him. That morning, he left the animal in a clearing and gave him a command to stay. You stay and watch his lunch. Watch his lunch bucket. I'm going to tell you about raccoons. They are trash bandits, without a doubt. We used to have to urge them to get out of our dumpster at church. They would find a way in. The lid would close on them, and you got two or three raccoons down in there about to get basted in the heat, boiled in the heat, broiled in the heat. And I'd put a stick down in there for them to climb out on and get them out. He left his animal in a clearing, gave him a command to stay and watch his lunch while he was in the forest. His faithful friend understood, for that's exactly what he did. Then a fire started in the woods, and soon the blaze spread to the spot where the dog had been left. But he didn't move. He stayed right where he was, in perfect obedience to his master's word. With tearful eyes, the dog's owner said, "I always had to be careful what I said to him, because I knew he would do it. I knew he would do it." That kind of faithfulness God asked for from the persecuted church in the book of Revelation. Satan will persecute you. Some of you he will put in prison. Some of you are going to become martyrs. You're going to be put to death. Listen to what he asked without apology. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Did you know there are Christians around the world to this very day, because they simply named the name of Christ, that are being killed? And there are Christians here in America that find it too much of a sacrifice to be faithful to God, to be faithful to the Word of God, to be faithful to worship God. It's got to be entertaining. It's got to be less time consuming. Don't ask me more than an hour. I'm not willing to sacrifice another 30 minutes in hopes of a revival or to honor God or to receive His Word. You know what I'm saying? Church is not something I gladly do. It's something in case I need a miracle, in case my insurance covers the best doctors and they can't help me, that I want to make sure my foot is in the door with God, that I've got some star by my name for showing up on Sunday. But make it entertaining. Keep it timely. Because I want to hurry and get out and get to the mall. I want to get to the restaurant. I want to get to the golf course. And look where it has brought us to in America, one of the churchiest countries in the world, and Christianity has lost its influence, the lamp stand, the light that pierces, penetrates the darkness. But boy, inside that white edifice with that tall steeple, a service is going on today. God wants your glad service. Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. But though I give my body to be burned and not do it out of love, it doesn't profit me anything. Can you say amen? How much of the Word do you gladly want to obey today? That's the question. Is the Bible really something that you want to apply to your life? Or is it just something you endure in the preaching of it, the teaching of it? You know what they said to Ezekiel? Ezekiel thought he saw revival. He saw all the outward vestures of revival, but there was an acid test of it. Ezekiel was so sad, he was preaching and preaching, and people were coming to hear him. And he thought, people are listening. They're giving heed. And God broke his bubble. We're satisfied with enough people to meet the budget. We're satisfied when we have a crowd. God says it's got to be the heart. Doesn't matter how many sitting in the audience. If their heart's not in it, it's nothing. And God says to him, they come to you as one that plays skillfully upon an instrument. They're entertained by your anointing. They're entertained by your anointing. They don't want to be in a dead church service. They're coming where the anointing is flowing. And they say that they want you to tell them the will of God. But their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. See how all the other can look right, feel right, and yet God says it isn't right. There's no revival because of the crowd. There's no revival because the seats are filled. There's no revival unless people love me enough to want to serve me from the heart. Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness, O ye lands. Praise God. Will you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah. I'm in the twilight years of my ministry. My 70 is behind me. 70 is given to man by reason of strength, 80. Brother Taylor, you're a strong man, brother. How many years? 85. I want to dance at his 100th birthday. Not with him or with your wife, with my wife. Or we'll just do one of these. I can't even do those. I don't got the rhythm. But I want to celebrate 100 with you, brother, because you encourage me. Praise God. You just keep going, keeping on. God has blessed you. Hallelujah. I want to get it right. I want to preach the truth. I'm not interested in a lot of the other things that young ministers are seeking, success symbols. That's all behind me. My success is the people that will be in heaven because I was faithful to bring the Word of God to God's people. My success is Christians that don't look back and don't go back. They remember Lot's wife and they just keep on keeping on. My legacy is this woman right here. You still got that wrap?
Upon, yes, I do.
You do? Can you divot it?
Absolutely.
Listen, we're going to have a wrap before we go. We're going to wrap it up with a wrap. This woman was way out there in sin. And she received the truth that confronts us with our sin. But it was a truth in love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten Jesus. So be zealous, therefore. Hallelujah.
So the poem is called Forgiveness. The wounds of my past has been forgiven. I might have scars, but I'm not still bleeding. No longer trapped under the pressure to hurt and pain. I had to release that mess before I went insane. The devil tried to break me, I tell you no lie. I was molested at 5 by a family guy. Lost my baby at 19 from my first love. He left me pregnant, went back to college without even a word. I decided to give up on men on that very day. I thought women would be better, but that wasn't the way. 2 tryouts away from the WNBA and my knee was shattered. A superstar so close to her dreams, but now I didn't matter. Not easily broken, as you can see. My faith in my God rescued me. Now transformed like a caterpillar to a butterfly. Anticipating on seeing my little one in the sky. Now this is my story, but don't feel bad for me. Cause everything that I've been through have prepared and strengthened me. The keys to success is as plain as day. Stay focused on the Lord and He'll show you the way. No longer living wild and reckless, more humble these days. Working on my inward flaws, staying committed and pray. Now the moral of the story is this. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for us. Cause what helps us and what hurts us makes us stronger. Forgiving don't change the past, but it most definitely freeze your future.
Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Can we wrap it up with a rap testimony? That's the legacy. That's the legacy. That's the legacy. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's no building. There's no steeple. There's no pipe organ. There's no TV broadcast. But there are people going to be in heaven. People that have been saved. They have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And they're going to be safe from the wrath to come. Can you say amen? Have we got time for a go home song?